Hi, my name is Saptak Sen. I'm a technical product manager in the SQL Server team focused on big data. So in this session, we are covering how to use Scoop and Windows Azure Reporting Services. I have with me Bill Ramos.
Thank you, Saptak. I'm Bill Ramos with Advaya Incorporated. And as a consultant, I've been working on this project with Saptak, and I'll be doing the demonstrations for today.
So let's talk a little bit more about what we are going to cover today. So first of all, we are going to cover a technology called Scoop. And by the way, Scoop is spelled S-Q-O-O-P, not the normal English language spelling. And then we are going also, and Scoop is used to move data around. And then we are going to also see how we can use Windows Azure Reporting Services to create reports around that data on top of Azure. Now, let's look at a little bit more detail in Scoop. Now, initially, Scoop was designed to parallelly move data between two Hadoop instances. You know, geosynchronizing Hadoop clusters was a big issue because you wanted a way to kind of, especially when you have big data, you don't want to have just one cluster. For any reason, if that cluster goes down, your operations goes down, your people can't get to that data and blah, blah, blah. So you want to kind of almost duplicate that data into another Hadoop cluster, and Scoop was designed to do that. And then, of course, the need came from, hey, I need two different clusters. One is my test cluster, where you know all the developers can go and push in the newest code and run it, and then I have my production cluster, and of course we need to synchronize the data between these two clusters. So Scoop was also designed or used to do that. Now the key thing about Scoop is that it's actually a MapReduce job, so it can move data parallelly between the two different entities. Now, then of course, the need arose that, hey, what if I have an existing traditional relational database system? How do I move data between Hadoop and that relational database system? So Scoop was again built on and tweaked to be able to do that. And sometimes, those relational database systems can be a parallel database systems or multiprocessor, highly MPP kind of database system. For example, PDW, which is Parallel Data Warehouse, it is a massively parallel database system with many, many nodes. And so is Hadoop, is a data store with HDFS, which has many, many nodes. Now, to move data between these two entities, it doesn't make sense for one single process or thread to kind of be the bottleneck for this data movement. So with Scoop, when you fire up a MapReduce job, all these different processes running all across the different nodes can parallelly start moving different chunks of data across to this system. So at the end of the day, Scoop has become the de facto way to move, to ingest and egress massive amounts of data parallelly from in and out of Hadoop. Now with that, let's look at the demo.
Sure. So in this demo, what I'm going to do is show you how you can take data from our Hadoop cluster. In this particular case, we have our Hive table with our census data. And I'm going to move that into a Windows Azure SQL database. And then from there, in the second demo, I'll actually build a report on top of that. So you can see how we got the data and reported against it. So let's get started with the demo machine here. And the first thing we need to do is create a table that matches our Hive table. And we'll do that using our SQL database. Now, the SQL database that I want to connect to right here is the Big Data Bootcamp Azure. And I'm going to use the manage command, which will go out and open up a web app that'll allow me to connect to my database. So put in my username and password, and then click login. Now the first time you do this, if you haven't used this console before, you'll be prompted to add your IP address as a client so that the software can actually access it. And so what I want to do, once you get that set up, then you can actually do the connection. I'm going to go ahead and create a new query here. And then inside this new query, I'm going to execute the following create table statement. I'm going to create a table called working TE census info, which is the same name as the Hive table I'm going to be working with. I'm then going to specify the state, county, age group, and population values for that. And one thing you have to be aware of with a SQL database is that each table, if you want to do inserts, which we're going to certainly do with Scoop, you need to have a primary key. And so since we don't have a primary key on the data, we're just going to use each of the four columns as the primary key for this. To go ahead and create the table, I'll hit the run command. And it says I already have a constraint name on that, so let's go PK2. I actually have done this with another database or another table in the database, so we'll go ahead and run that. And now we have our primary key, our table created with our primary key. The next thing I need to do is use Scoop to connect to this table. The way that I do that is I go back to my Hadoop cluster, in this case, Big Data Jumpstart, and I'm going to use the Manage Cluster option here and log in. And here I'm using the cluster admin user and password. And this will go ahead and bring up the tiled console for us. From here, there is no direct way that I can run Scoop. So for example, you have the interaction or interactive console that allows me to run JavaScript and Hive, but there's nothing that will allow me at this point in time to actually run a Scoop job. And so with the current build of Azure HD Insight, I'm going to have to use the remote desktop to actually connect to the head node to do my Scoop operation. So I'm going to go ahead and open this up. And connect with my admin user account. Okay, now I'm logging in to the head node. And I'm going to launch our Hadoop command line. So I'm actually going to make this a little bit bigger here so that we can see what's going on. Yeah, there we go. And to run Scoop, I need to be in the bin directory for Scoop. We can see all the different applications that are available here by going to the appdisk directory. And you see here, I'm going to navigate to Scoop and then the bin directory. And this is where the executable is.
So Bill, before we go any further, yeah. I'd like to point one thing. So this is how the preview stands today.
Yeah.
But pretty soon, you will be able to do it in a much more easier way. You don't have to remote into the head node of the Hadoop cluster to be able to do this. You'll be able to run all these commands remotely from your own machine without having to do a remote desktop.
Yeah, and that way you don't have to worry about trying to mess around with the directory names and all that, like
absolutely.
SQL JDBC. For some reason, it just wants to go to SQOOCD, SQOO. Which will be really nice when you can run that without having to go to the head node. In fact, if you think about it from a multi-tenancy perspective, if you have multiple users that are accessing your Hadoop cluster, you want to make sure that you have a UI like the console or your MapReduce jobs that you can run without having to go into the head node. In fact, I think they're going to be restricting access to the head node for the next
by
release
default,
of HD Insight. So it's going to be really hard to get there. So I'm going to go to the bin directory now. And from here, this is where I'm going to run my Scoop command. Now, the Scoop command is not the easiest thing to remember off the top of your head, but there are two forms of the command, which is an import and an export. And so we're going to go and use the export version of it. And I'm going to go ahead and copy this statement here. And hopefully we can decipher this when we get to here. So we'll go ahead and edit, paste. Okay, so let's go through the command. First, it's scoop.cmd. We give it the, let's go ahead and, I don't have zoom it here, but we'll take a look at the command. We ask the command to export. So it's exporting from Hadoop into our connection to our JDBC driver, which is our SQL Server database. And we're specifying here the name of the server, the full name of it, and port. We indicate the name of the database that we have here, in case it's Big Data Bootcamp Azure. We indicate our user, which is Bootcamp, and the value. And then this is another reason why you don't want to run it in the head node, is everybody in the world can now see the password here to my server. So that's the basic connection information. We then indicate the table that we want the data to go into. And in this case, it's working TE census info. We then specify the export directory, and this is the directory where the data is located. In our case, it's in the container called working inside the storage account of BD Jumpstart. And it's called MapReduce underscore student underscore data working TE census info. I hope that's all right. And then we'll use the verbose option to just show a lot of data flying through the screen here. So hopefully I don't need to use it for debugging. Okay, here we go.
Hope and the prayer works.
Hope and the prayer. So we'll let this guy run. And so this is the MapReduce job that Sapduck was talking about, to actually go out to the export directory and start processing the data. So this will take a little bit. Now let's let it run. Got anything to add?
Yeah, sure. I mean, see, the MapReduce jobs has an overhead when it starts off, because you know you have to schedule all this resource across on different machines, and all these different processes spin up, and then the reports say, hey, we are ready to go, and then they go, right?
Yeah.
So it has that, you know, a boot up cost. But what you gain is that because it's you know, all these processes are doing what they need to do parallelly, you are collapsing the wall clock time. So that's what you are gaining by it. Typically, you don't move, say, kilobytes of data. In this case, it's probably, you know, a few megabytes at most. But in real life, it will be a much larger data set. So then it will all make sense, because you are parallelly moving all this data, and yeah, thereby, once you've spun it off, you're off the races.
But we're done. Cool. So let's go back to the screen here, and we'll show you the results of the command. So we see that we exported our 40,855 records, which is what we expected. You can see the MapReduce job. This is where it executed it and then started moving all the data over. So this is success. To double check our work, I'm going to go ahead and go back to our console here. And so we saw we created this table. And now I'm going to go ahead and click on the data overview here and design. And what the design window does, you'll see here, is it shows our two tables. In this case, here's our working TE census info. Shows us our row count. That's a good sign. I can go ahead and if I say, let's see, where is it here? Let's go ahead and click on this and hit edit. So this brings it up into a design view, but I can also click on data where it will show the first set of records that are in the table. So I think this is about 200 records or whatever it will show. So we had our success by using Scoop to move our data from our Hadoop cluster into our Windows Azure database, where we can now work with it using familiar tools like reporting services and the new Windows Azure reporting services infrastructure. So let's turn back over to you, Saptak, and go through that next set of slides there.
Sure. So next we are going to, what we are going to see is now that the data is in a SQL-like database or SQL, Azure SQL database to be precise, now we can create reports from that. And we can use something which we use on on-prem SQL Server, like SQL Server Reporting Service. We have an equivalent of that on Azure, and it's called Windows Azure SQL Reporting Services. Now, we can use Windows Azure SQL Reporting Services in two different ways. Number one is that, you know, like reporting services, you can always go to a web-based reporting platform directly and look at the reports there. But the other way to use it is the ability to embed the reports in your applications or in your websites. You know, so that's very, very powerful. So let's look at the Windows Azure reporting services a little bit more in detail. Now, reporting Windows Azure reporting services is designed to give you a bunch of benefits, like, you know, rapid provisioning. You don't have to set up the OS or reporting services bits, you know, by hand. Basically, go to the Windows Azure portal, you select that you want the Windows Azure reporting services, and boom, you've got it. And it's scalable. You don't have to plan upfront as to how much hardware you need in your data center to run this. As your need grows, you can grow it too. Because it's a, you know, a multi-tenant, highly available system, the overhead of management and securing is much, much lower than if you had to do it all yourself. Now, first of all, how it works is that, you know, reporting services provides a web service endpoint pointing to the report.rdl. So Visual Studio is again the authoring environment for reporting services. And the emerging file or the designed report design is typically a .rdl file. And once you provide that RDL file, it provides a web service which points to this particular RDL file. And then when the request comes through the load balancer and hits the application tier, then the routing happens. And it's not very different from how it's implemented on the on-prem SQL Server. And then finally, of course, you get back the report, right? So to maintain multi-tenancy, there's also automatically a temp DB which gets created for each tenant, so that your private data is not getting mixed up or exposed to other tenants on the same resources. Now, with that, let's actually look at or see a demo of how it works.
Yep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and use Windows Azure to create our reporting services service on our data center, and then create a very simple report using our census data that we had just scooped from Hadoop HD Insight into our Windows Azure SQL database. So
I
let's
like
go
what you did there.
Yeah.
You scooped.
I scooped it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scooped it over. Okay. Scooped as a verb. So what I'm going to do now is go ahead and click on SQL reporting here. And we see that we have no reporting service set up at this point. So we're going to go ahead and create a service. Now, you can only create a reporting service in one data center. And so in our case, we have to create ours on the East Coast. So I'm going to go ahead and do quick create here. I did quick create. Did I not do that right? Quick create.
Internet might be slow or whatever.
Mm. not as
do you want to click on that little tick box
that little, down below? Where we go? That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried it. Data services, reporting services.
Just refresh the whole page.
Let's go ahead and refresh. Could be a short demo. Okay, so we're going ahead and refreshing our console here.
Stay positive, Bill.
Stay positive, yeah. Okay, no reporting. I'm hitting creating a reporting service, and we have that. Quick create.
And then the little checkbox below.
And a little checkbox below.
And still no.
Did your service get disabled?
No.
Okay. No, that's not working. Let's see. We got our SQL database, SQL reporting, quick create. Oh, there we go. We got there. Did I say anything I shouldn't have said while I was doing all that little stuff? Okay, cool. Okay, so we're going to give it our service name, and we'll call it BD Jumpstart. We'll indicate our region. Again, we can only have one in here, and our SQL database and our Hadoop cluster are all in East US. We give it our administrator username, and I'll call this boot camp, and our password. And check the little box. Yay. Okay,
so. Click on the little green thing wiggling around.
That one?
And details.
Oh, and details, yeah.
I like it.
So it's going ahead. It's submitted to an operation. Okay. We're all set here. And once we get this set up, we can go ahead and log into reporting services. So let me go ahead and get that going. So to create our report, we're actually going to use the SQL data tools, which are part of Visual Studio 2010 at this point for SQL Server 2012. That's always an interesting thing. And we're going to go ahead and create a new reporting services project. And so I'm going to go ahead and select report server project, and I'll call this census and click OK. Now the first thing I have to do is create a data source. So first, I'm dying to see, did it come back? Yep, we're all created now. So we have our BD Jumpstart Reporting Services service.
You know, I used to work at a consulting company.
Yeah.
And we had almost a practice deploying SharePoint and reporting services.
Yeah.
That used to be the whole job.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and now you just have reporting services here. So hopefully I can do it justice and show how easy it is to all work here. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead back to my report, and I'm going to say add new report and use the report wizard here to get going. So I'll say new. And for our data source here, I'll call this census. And for type, you can see that here reporting services all set up to go to Azure, which is very cool. And I'll go ahead and hit edit here to build my connection string. Now for the server name, I need to pop back over to my console, go over to my database here, and I've got this string here, which is my server name value. So we'll copy that in and paste. And then we use SQL authentication for our SQL database. And here I'll use bootcamp. Uh-oh, I'm typing. It's never a good thing. KTCPM7YK8F. And our password. And I'm going to hit save password, and we'll do our first test to do a little drop-down list here to see if it connects. All right. So we'll connect to our Big Data Bootcamp Azure database and click OK. Now I can make this a shared data source or not, but I'll keep it a local data source, and I'll hit next. So the next thing is to build out a query for my table here. And what I'm going to do is go ahead and just select all the columns here for my output and click OK. And so you see this automatically builds a select statement for my query, and I'll go ahead and hit Next. I'll tell it to be a tabular, actually I want to use a matrix here, and for my page, I'm going to use state. For my columns, actually for my rows, I'm going to use county. For my columns, I'm going to use our age data so that the columns will go across the top. And then for my response, with the details, this is the population for each one of those. So hopefully I got those all lined up. And we'll hit next, and we'll use this nice slate color here and hit finish. And we'll give it our report name, census. So we have our report connected up to our Azure database. Let's just do a quick preview right now and see that I got all the columns set up right. Okay, so here we go. We have page one of our report with Alabama, and we show our county information here. And then I can subsequent pages would all be set on state because that was the state field here. So very quickly, I have a nice little report. I can go ahead and create a parameter on this report because what I want to do is actually change this, use a parameter to indicate what state I want to look at. To do that, I'm going to go ahead and create a new data set here. As soon as my cursor stops acting funny. And, oh, I gotta get back to design mode. There we go. So I'm gonna create a new data set. And in this one, what I'm going to do is go ahead and tell it to use the embedded census report. And again, I'll use the query designer here. And then go in, and I'm going to just select the state field here. And from there, I'm going to click OK. And the thing that I want to do here is select distinct. So what this will do is give me just the states, the single value of them that I'm going to use for my parameter list. So I'll go ahead and click OK here. And with that data set now, I can go ahead and create, go to the query designer here for this one. And I can tell the query designer here to apply a filter where state is, and then a parameter, and click OK. And what that did here is if we look at the field, or not the field properties, but if we look at the data set properties, you'll see here it added this at state parameter here that will allow us, that will set up the condition for checking. Now the parameter here is set up, and what I need to do now is indicate where those values are going to come from for the state. And so I'm going to tell it to get the values from a query and select our data set 2 here. Tell it that the value field is state and the label field is state. And then I can give it a default value if I wanted to. And here I can just say California. Hope I got that right. Okay, so now we have our parameter. When I go ahead and run my report here, I'm set up for California. I can change it to Connecticut, view report. And now I have my report set up to show the data as I need to. So the next step is to now take this and deploy it to our server. And this is a relatively simple operation that I always have to look up because I want to make sure I get it right here. And so we've got our report created with our parameter. And we've got our distinct clause here. And so now we're going to go ahead and do our publishing. So we'll go to project and then census properties. And for our target server URL, this is where I'm going to specify the URL for my server. And what I need to do is get that reporting service's name. And so we'll go back over to our report server. That's our Hadoop cluster. Here's our reporting server. And we'll take a look at this. And here's our service URL. So we'll go ahead and copy that. And paste it into our URL here. Now, let me make sure I've got this step set up. We do that, and let's go ahead and see what happens here. So we'll go ahead and click OK. And then we want to see build and deploy. I think it's that simple. What do you think, Zapdak?
It is that simple.
Okay, so we're getting prompted for our username. So our username here was bootcamp. And our password. Click OK. And deploying to the server, it says deploying the report. Zero errors, zero warnings. This is awesomeness. And I can go ahead now and go back to this URL, and I'm going to click it. So we get prompted for our username here. And sign in. Now in here, you'll see a directory with the name of the report. And then we have the RDL file that was deployed here, where I can click on that. And now what's doing is it's bringing up the report viewer. You see the default is set to California. And here's our data by county with age groups here from our Hadoop data that was in a Hive table that we subsequently moved to Scoop. We have a parameterized report all ready to go. It's just like magic. This is just awesome. Having the ability to have reporting services like that in Azure to deploy a report and then make that publicly available just by giving people the username and password so that they can log in is a great step forward. And I mean, it gives cloud computing a lot of credit, in my opinion. You know, don't have to stand up the reporting services service, and it's just ready there in the cloud.
If you notice, in everything that we are doing today, if you had to bake it yourself, you would have to literally write you know, tens of thousands of lines of code to do just one of them.
In this case, you'd have to stand up a web server or a VM on like Windows Azure, use the IIS service to create a VM, install reporting services, figure out all the rights to that stuff, get all the permissions, make sure there's a database associated with it. But because we were able to just connect this to our SQL database in Azure, with our reporting services, boom, just like that.
And both those pieces scale without you having to design for it.
Yeah.
So the Azure database, as you have more and more data, you can scale. And as well as the reporting services, you can scale it as you have more and more users using it. So which is like...
That's it. Super simple to report against our data. With, you know, Scoop, moving Scoop into our SQL database, building a report on top of that, publishing it to the cloud, just like that.
So here we have some links if you want to know more about it. And with that, that was our module.
Yeah, thank you.